somebody comes into the emergency room and you get a phone call and you're told that this 19-year-old is in the emergency room and they just had a seizure. And so you rush over there and see what the deal is after they've had the scan, and the scan shows that they have a brain tumor. You can imagine how traumatic that is for family, and you can see your own children in that person. Of course, at that point, you do not have any diagnosis, so you can't initiate therapy, but you want to make sure they stabilize them, you know, make sure that that seizure is controlled, because without controlling that seizure, that patient may be lost and patient may die right away. And then, you know, from that very dramatic presentation, you want to be able to establish a diagnosis, and that's what you do as quickly as you can. But there's so many parameters to taking care of that 19-year-old that you have to navigate, and navigate very quickly.
From WHJE, this is First Responders 411, getting you the inside scoop on first responders in the Carmel area. I'm Tatum Pratty. There are three major types of doctors who take care of cancer. One of these is a medical oncologist. They administer chemotherapy or other medicines for the treatment of different cancers. Dr. Raymu Birhare is a medical oncologist.
Growing up as a youngster, I always wanted to be a physician. I wanted to be a doctor. Of course, at that point, I didn't know what kind of doctor. And in training and going to medical school, I realized that I loved two aspects of medicine. I love the biology, trying to understand why diseases happen, and understanding the ways or how to block those pathways. The other thing that I really liked was dealing with the psychological aspects of human illness. And during my residency, I realized that in oncology, I could do both of those things. You know, apply biology to the treatment of disease, and also take care of the psychological aspects of disease. That's where the interest started, and I've never regretted that. Oh yeah, there are times that it's rough. There are times you come home and you're very sad. There are times I come home and tell the kids, I just lost somebody that's very dear to me today, and I'm very sad. And you have to be in touch with your emotions. You don't have to say exactly what the circumstances are, but I think it's important that you are a human being throughout the process. Don't try to not feel what you feel. If it hurts, you know, let it hurt, you know. And sometimes you have to attend funerals. Sometimes you have to visit with family afterwards.
Sometimes it's kind of hard because my dad's job is kind of demanding of him. And it's not like a set, like, oh, he works from 8 to 5 kind of job. It's a he's gone in the morning and he comes back at night kind of thing.
This is Maya Birhare, Dr. Birhare's daughter.
So sometimes it's kind of hard because he has meetings. Like sometimes he won't be there for like my birthday or something like that. He really tries to like avoid those situations, but sometimes they're unavoidable. So it's really difficult sometimes when he can't be at certain events and such. But I know that he really tries, and that some people just kind of need him more in that moment than I do. And then I get to see him all the time, and that I'm lucky that he gets to change people's lives like he does. My dad's, he's pretty inspiring. He kind of has shown me that I also want to go into the medical field.
There is a young man that I have remained in touch with. I took care of his mother many years ago now. He lives in Ohio. And when his mom passed, he was still in high school. And now he lives with his aunt who's raising him. And he's a star basketball player for his high school. And, you know, I make it my business every Christmas to be in touch with him. You know, it's a personal promise I made to myself. And there's another young lady whose mom I took care of when she was in kindergarten. And now she's in college. And she's always brought me her grades every year to look at. And she wants to become a doctor. And even now that she's in college, she still brings me her grades, and I tell my kids that's my adopted daughter.
It was Christmas morning. We left at 3 a.m., and I took a whole, like, bunch of bouquets, and I took different ones, and I think he had to do, like, he was on call that Christmas, so we had to go in to the hospital, and we went to, like, different rooms, and I took flowers to all of the patients and wished them a Merry Christmas, because I know that spending Christmas at the hospital probably is not where they want to be. They want to be with their family, so I just kind of wanted to brighten up their holiday, and it was really cool, like, seeing the smiles on their faces and getting their thank yous.
It was August of 2002. I was diagnosed with stage 4 nasal pharyngeal cancer. It was a tumor in my sinuses. And as soon as I was diagnosed, they decided to do both radiation and chemotherapy at the same time to hit it as hard as they possibly could.
This is Megan Cogswell. She is a math teacher at Carmel High School. She was not treated by Dr. Birhare, but went through the same thing as some of his patients.
The chemotherapy in my case was to help if the cancer had spread anywhere else in my body. The radiation part of it is what really made me sick. I had radiation burns down my throat, and so it made it really hard to swallow, and I couldn't eat anything, so I stopped eating for the longest time. So that was the biggest challenge, I think, was just those radiation burns down my throat, because it made it really hard to talk. I couldn't talk, I couldn't eat. And people would try to call me and talk to me to make me feel better, and it would just make me angry because I didn't want to talk to anyone because it hurt so bad. It was a pretty short 9-week treatment, so I've been living cancer-free since December of 2002.
One of the things I've learned in my line of work is that sometimes you're successful and sometimes you're not. And the way that impact comes could be either because a family is grateful because somebody was cured of their disease or somebody's illness was controlled and they did well. But also another way is when you get a call or when a family comes to visit you to thank you for the care of someone who did not survive their disease, but because you did your very best, and they know that you did your very best. So I think I'm impacted when I feel like I've done my very best, but then you're even more rewarded in a way when people acknowledge that you did your very best. Once I was at the AT&T store, and working with somebody and trying to get an iPhone fixed, and they asked me what my name was, and so I said what my name was, and it happens to be that this was the granddaughter of a patient that I took care of. And she said, "Oh wow, you took care of my grandmother," and she told me who her grandmother was, and that was many years ago, and I do remember her very well, and she was just so grateful, and told me how, impactful the care that her grandmother received, was for the rest of the family. So you do learn that, it's not just that one person in front of you that whose life is impacted, but rather there's a whole slew of people, including that person. And so it's very important that you do your very best, because you could make some people very happy in the process.
For WHJE, this is Ben Tatum Pratty. More stories like this can be found at whje.com.